And the first question comes from Jonas Jansen from the FAZ Daily. You have the floor. Good morning. Thank you very much. I would be interested, Mr. Baumann, you touched on this in your remarks, the effect of COVID-19 vaccinations. Bayer had planned something with CureVac as well, but now that's not going to pan out. So my question is, what sort of planning do you have in Wuppertal? Are you likely to work together with other manufacturers? Might there be some other option in this regard, or what the plan is here?
Yeah, good morning, Jansen.
Good, Mr. Jansen. Thank you for the question. We have worked hard, especially in view of the emergency situation last year, when the pandemic was in full swing, to see whether we could also produce. And then we set all the levers moving to set up production capacity in a very short time. But because of the fact that CureVac, filed the motion for approval for the phase one trials for the CureVac vaccine and then withdrew the application, the establishment of vaccine production for Wuppertal at present has no basis. So that these activities have been discontinued. Nevertheless, in addition, we have hired more staff who are now in Wuppertal, the newly hired employees in Wuppertal, where we have about 3,000 employees, are being used for other purposes.
And the next question is from the Handelsblatt, Bernd Freundhoff. Good morning to everyone. I've got three brief questions following on to the question we just had here. Are you continuing to work with CureVac? I've understood that production isn't going to get off the ground, but you were involved with the clinical trials and with the approvals. Are you still a partner of CureVac, or is that over? Second question, where is Rodrigo Santos going to work to? Is he going to move to Monheim, or is he going to stay in St. Louis? And then in your quarterly report, there is case action in the U.S. regarding capital communication. What is the legal situation there, and how does Bayer assess this class action?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, Freundhoff. Thank you for the question. Well, the first question, we are still interested in the mRNA technology and are also continuing our discussion with CureVac. However, at present, the collaboration has now ended and support for a possible call for tenders and the distribution, if there were to be some production, there is no basis for contractual collaboration. Regarding Rodrigo Santos, he will maintain his global division responsibility for agriculture, and part of his tasks on the Board of Management will be handled from St. Louis. But as in the past, we shall continue with two headquarter sites, one with the well-known situation in Monheim and the other in St. Louis. Now, for that, you need to know that all in all, about 70% of our agriculture's business is achieved in North and Latin America. But regarding the global responsibility of the headquarters site in Monheim, nothing has changed. Regarding the class action in the United States, this was the Hausmann Trust, in the securities class action that you're referring to, we are still in the phase of establishing whether it's admissible. In the first assessment, the court has turned down all the accusations apart from one, and that is what we're arguing about before the court at present. A brief has been filed to make it clear that we find all the motions unfounded.
The next question is from Hendrik Geisler from the Leverkusener Anzeiger. You have the floor. Good morning to everyone. I'm interested in power consumption at Bayer. How much green power do you have at the moment? I'd also be interested in knowing whether or not Bayer has brought some sections of the group back to Leverkusen, and which ones were they, and which ones are in planning. And then over a year ago, you were looking at considering letting people go in certain fields. You announced this for 2021. I wondered how many of the 12,000 employees that were let go in, or it was communicated that you were going to be letting 12,000 people go in 2018. How many have actually been let go? And through the austerity measures that you've put in place in the last 2 years, where have you released people and where not in the last 2 years?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Geisler. I didn't understand your second question acoustically. Could you repeat it, please?
Yes. I'm interested in whether or not Geyer has relocated people in recent years and divisions to Leverkusen, and whether more are planning to relocate.
Yeah, alles klar. Also ich.
Right, now it's clear. So I'll answer the first and third question. The second question will be answered by Wolfgang Nickel. So for this year, we have purchased additional green electricity amount of 400,000 megawatt hours, which is about 12% of our total electricity consumption, if I've got the figure right in my mind. Regarding the structural measures that we announced in the context of the Bayer 2022 program, these are 12,000 employees. Well, in fact, there's been a net reduction in the course of the year of 8,000 posts, but at the same time, we have hired and acquired. So the programs were always designed for this purpose of supporting innovation and growth in the transformation of the company. So parallel to that, there's also been a reinvestment and further build-up of employment of sustainable jobs. This program will be continued until the end of 2021, when it will be completed on plan. The programs that we announced last year, a savings volume of about 1.5 billion euros by 2024, at present, this is under discussion in some divisions, but, and is in the course of implementation in others. But we don't have any overall personnel figures to announce here, because many divisions and sectors are affected differently. Many are shifting resources around, and that is an ongoing process that we shall see over the next few years. Therefore, there's no up-to-date news, but one further piece of information regarding employment in Germany. Workforce in the course of the year has remained more or less stable. Altogether, there's been a variation compared to the 1st of January of about 180 jobs in Germany. Now, the tax question, Wolfgang, yes, there are no major groups and sections have been moved to Leverhausen, and none are planned either.
And the next question is from Tim Lowe from the Bloomberg News Munich. Hello, good morning. I've got two questions. The first is about sustainability. You mentioned that a bit already, but I remember at the annual general meeting, the UN Global Compact was an issue. And if I'm not mistaken, they voted against this. I wanted to know if there was an update on this, whether Bayer is still against this, and if that's the case, what are the reasons for this? And what does Bayer need to do in order to fix this?
Yeah, good morning, hello.
Good morning, Mr. Lowe. I think it is a question of whether Bayer should be a member of the Global Human Compact or not. And I said, like no other company worldwide, with the subjects of global nutrition, sustainable nutrition, and health, Bayer is making progress and driving, and it is a systemic company. There are many sectors where the sustainability goals that we formulate up to the end of 2030 and they are all fully on track. First of all, you've got the 5 degrees target for the Paris Climate Convention and the sustainability requirements of the UN SDGs. And regarding relevance and the access of our company, perhaps this one piece of information, as you know, some people 30 or 40 years ago considered the subject of sustainability was going to be one of the major societal challenges. Prince Charles, specifically, heads a very big sustainability initiative, the Sustainable Market Initiative, that's called, and there are not many companies that are invited there to participate in task forces. Bayer is one of them.
And the next question is from Christian Hatzner from Fortune. You have the floor. Good morning. Thank you. Just two questions, if I may. Regarding crop science, are you expecting further price increases for your various products in Q4 and in 2021? And secondly, in a conversation with a colleague in Glasgow, the head of Yara said that we are heading for a food crisis because of the fertilizer prices increasing by a factor of 10. Would you agree, and how do you see the situation in agriculture? Thank you.
Yeah, good morning, Edna.
Good morning, Mr. Edna. Thank you for that question. I hope you understand that I can't say anything about fertilizer prices because we don't work in that sector. As far as our business is concerned, our price increases, of course, have led to substantial cost increases, which we have to bear as well. They apply to us, as we've seen in the course of the year. This is due, first of all, because the unexpectedly fast rise in demand, and at the same time, not really at the same time, the obtaining the capacities, which are not available at the same time in many of our supplier markets, where the great demand couldn't be served appropriately, and that is why we've seen price increases there. With our customers too, we can see considerable increases in their sales prices. So the prices for soya and maize fertilizer have been increased significantly in the course of last year, and since the fourth quarter of 2021. It's been going on. So our customers at present have an excellent economic position, and we have to say that because of the high investments in research and development, in our production network, product security and safety and so on, we have to pass on the costs. We have done that increasingly. There is still a bit of a time lag. As a rule, we react to cost increases and an increase in commodity prices, and then we follow the system that we have a price policy oriented to added value. So the added value that our product creates will also be paid for by the customer. We saw that in the course of the year. There are very different developments in price in different markets and with different customers as well. In the last 2 years, 1.3 billion euros have been lost in terms of currency in international markets. Brazil is a major driver here. To the extent possible, we increase our prices, especially for products that are imported into Brazil, so that at the end of the day, the currency losses can be partially compensated for. In addition, in the commodity markets, there is a certain price and product bottleneck, and a major product here will be glyphosate. In the course of the year, we've seen several price increases. We ourselves have also raised our prices because the Chinese production has dropped significantly. And for the third quarter, not yet, but for the fourth quarter, we're expecting a considerable reduction in product availability because of Hurricane Ida and the fact that our production site in Luling was affected. On that basis, in a commodity price orientated market, we then see further price increases for glyphosate.
And the next question comes from Annette Becker from the Börsenzeitung. And first of all, you have the floor. Yes, good morning. I've got a question, too, about the special influences of nearly 7 million euros. And most of this go to restructuring measures. And in the third quarter, this was, again, a real chunk. So what's planned for the fourth quarter? What can we expect, probably in connection with the savings of 1.5 billion euros?
Hello, Frau Becker.
Hello. Ms. Becker, Wolfgang Nickel here. Yes, you're right. The greater part of the special items in this quarter came from restructuring. It is simply connected to the fact that planning for the program, which we announced last year, is advancing. Plans are becoming more precise, and that is discussed at length with our colleagues from the employee side, and when measures are decided on, then according to the accounting rules, the provisions have to be put into the books. All in all, we said that the factor of special items would be about 1.7 times the savings, and we don't have any special separate forecast for the next quarter, which is connected with when the agreements are reached.
And the next question comes from Olaf Storbeck, Financial Times. You have the floor. Yes, hello to everyone. I've got a question as well regarding the Crop Science Division. The press release suggested that Liam Condon was leaving of his own requirements, and he had a contract until 2026. Can we assume that if he's going because he wants to go, that he's not going to be paid out then for the rest of the contract? I'd like to know more about that. And then another question. In May, he was appointed to CEO. Was it already clear that there was going to be this change, or was it a surprise?
Yeah, good morning, Herr Storbeck.
Good morning, Mr. Storbeck. Yes, thank you for those questions. The first question, assumption I can confirm, Liam requested, at his own request, to terminate his position on the board at an early stage. He is turning to a new professional challenge, and therefore there's no reason at all to pay the remaining term of his contract. Other questions I have to answer at the end of the supervisor board's meeting, and I can only say what the supervisor decided was the board of management, as a rule, isn't involved in these issues, and we're not competent for it either. Regarding Rodrigo Santos, the situation is, and this is what you expect of the leading crop science company in the world. We've got the top people and the top expertise in the company, and depending on the challenges that arise in business and what opportunities become apparent, there are different personnel profiles that are appropriate for heading the divisions. The supervisory board, which is responsible here too, has conducted a selection process. The board of management is involved insofar as, of course, we are developing a talent basis, and there are future candidates that we want to develop for roles in the board of management. I can say that Rodrigo was at the top of the candidates list in the past.
And the next question comes from Antje Hoenig of the Bayerische Post. You have the floor. Thank you very much. I've got one question. 135,000 actions, and how many have actually been settled? And then questions to COVID. You were considering a good citizen required mandatory vaccination in the U.S. How far are you there? And then regarding Home Office, how many of your, or what percentage of your employees are back in the office, and do you expect with the fourth wave more to be sent home?
Yeah, good morning, Frau Höning.
Good morning, Ms. Höning. Thank you for your questions. At present, there are no new figures for the number of suits. You know that on the one hand, we are still negotiating over settlements, also in the context of the program we've communicated, and we're working on all the 5 points regarding the filing of our appeal as well, the appeal to the Supreme Court, and that is the next important milestone where we're expecting a decision possibly in the fourth quarter, otherwise in the first quarter 2022. Regarding compulsory vaccinations, there are different possibilities in different countries. Vaccinating the workforce, enforcing that such a vaccination. For us as a science-based company, of course, because of the massive evidence of hundreds of millions of people who've been vaccinated in the meantime, we have an expectation which has not existed with so many drugs in such a short time. We can see that there are major risks of illness. Here, vaccination is the better solution, and we're communicating that to our organization, and we're encouraging our people to be vaccinated. We cannot enforce vaccination in many sectors, though there is a certain enforcement, especially where we ourselves are in the health sector and are working with our colleagues in sales and diagnostics and radiology with our technicians, and where we go to hospitals. There we need to ensure that the medical and nursing staff, and of course also people being treated as inpatients, are not put at risk by our employees who need to be vaccinated. And the next point in this connection is that, of course, we want to see that in some sectors where the vaccination ratio is not so high, by talking to people, we can want to increase that figure to protect our workforce, both individuals and colleagues, and also the private environment. Apart from the fact that, of course, we respect people who reject vaccination for health, religious or health reasons, there, our position is quite clear. I believe that everyone should be vaccinated, full stop. Next point, home office. Here, again, the situation differs from one site to another. In the course of our security and safety concepts, we've taken every possible precaution in the different phases to ensure that we only have the minimum number of people in the offices. We have very few people in the office at some times. Wolfgang, Nick, and I can say that because we're here every day, and we can see it in Leverkusen. In the meantime, in Leverkusen and most of the other office sites in Germany, we have a ratio of about 60% of the workforce in office jobs who are being represented, and we're heading in this direction also with the aim of having a social exchange between colleagues, particularly young colleagues who are new to the firm and who now need to get to know what it's like working together. And of course, we're looking at hybrid models as well, partially working from home and partially in the office, depending on their activities.
And the next question comes from Wolf von David, DPA. You have the floor. Yes, thank you. Good morning. Once again, just to ask about Wuppertal, how many people had you hired for the vaccination production that was planned? And how are you going to be using the premises then for what activities? And the next question, you said you're still interested in the mRNA technologies and still in discussion with CureVac. Could you tell us a bit more about that? You're interested in getting involved in manufacturing vaccinations moving forward, or are we talking about other possible mRNA drugs, or what are we talking about here? And the discussion with CureVac, I don't entirely understand it. What is there left to discuss? I mean, surely this issue has been basically dealt with. Thank you.
Yeah, good morning, Afandi.
Good morning, Mr. Davids. Thank you for your questions. I'll begin with CureVac. And the employees who supported CureVac or are supporting CureVac. The situation is, in the course of the year, we had several hundred employees in terms of man years who were involved in supporting CureVac, where we're looking at, we took them out of less time critical projects, and we then asked these people to give priority, in some cases 24/7, to turn to the question of setting up vaccine production or to provide support for the approval process for the approval application for the CureVac vaccine. In Vuppertal itself, 30 employees were hired in addition, and as I've mentioned, they are being used for other purposes now. We have no strategic interest and no real basis, quite honestly, in the field of vaccines to establish our own presence. It has always been designed and intended such that in a critical global health crisis, with our skills and expertise, we can provide support. As far as CureVac is concerned, this support is no longer needed. And in addition, we are not pursuing any strategic goals in the field of vaccine technology. Regarding the discussion with CureVac and other mRNA technologies and mRNA companies, the mRNA technology, of course, has seen massive success in the field of vaccines and has given the proof of concept so that it is a new technology that is conceivable in the field of pharmacological active agents. This means that the mRNA technology in those fields where we have strategic interests can still be considered, and we're looking for further partnerships. Our priorities at present are fixed on cell and gene therapy, and in addition, precision chemistry with the acquisition of Novidian. But of course, mRNA is a highly interesting technology in some of the sectors that you mentioned. Of course, in oncology and in cardiology as well, but also in ophthalmology. These are fields which we find really exciting and where we could use this technology as well.
And the next question comes from Patricia Weiss from Reuters. You have the floor. Good morning. Just a brief question to Mr. Nicholas. Over the course of the year, you haven't said much about the EBITDA, or there have been forecasts for EBITDA with special items. Now, if we do the math with the EBITDA margin, we could figure it out, but I'd just like to hear from you in terms of absolute figures with the clean result of 10.6 to 10.9 billion euros in the year as a whole, and that's currency adjusted. You said 10.5 and 11.5 as a forecast. Perhaps you could give us a sense of this, please.
Thank you for the question, Ms. Weiss. I'll sum up again what we said altogether. First of all, of course, there's been an encouraging development in Q3 which is continuing, and that is why the growth forecast for crop science and consumer health has been increased 2% for crop science and consumer health, also about 2%. We've always said that sales are looking at about 43 billion. You can imagine that the figures today, of course, are bigger than they were before. We entered the year with expecting 26% EBITDA margin, and in August that was reduced to 25%, and now we're somewhere in between. Where there's been a slight adjustment is in the core EPS. There, in August, we raised it to 6 euros to 6.20, and that has now been raised by 10 cents for our guidance. And there, the higher sales will lead to a higher margin as well. And what's important is that there's an improvement in the free cash flow, about 1.5 billion better, which is due partly to the postponement of settlement payments to the following year, which puts us in a position that the Dividion acquisition was consumed without any influence on the net financial debt as of the end of the year. And that I find most encouraging. So I think all the coordinates have been shown to show what we've adapted.
And the next question comes from Eric Butterbord, WDR-TV. You have the floor. Thank you. I've got a question on the about the austerity program that was announced in December 2018. Some of these questions have already been answered, but one question to you, Mr. Baumann. You talked about 8,000 positions that have been finished, or people have been let go. How many of those were in Leverkusen?
Good morning, Herr Butter.
Good morning, Mr. Butterbrot. Thank you for the follow-up question. The headcount and adjustment figures haven't been broken down to different sites.